Blog Talk Radio.
Bread of life sent down from glory. Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter. But you are the living word, Savior. Come on. Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us. Bread sent down from glory. Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Many things you were on earth. A
whole
king, a
carpenter.
You are the
living
one.
Awesome ruler. Gentile redeemer. This is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree you died to save man. The Jesus, Jesus,
Jesus.
That's what we call you. You were born in a
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his holy name together. Let us enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and let us enter into his holy courts with praise. Good morning, my brothers and sisters. Happy Resurrection Sunday to you, and we want to thank you all for stopping by the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience this beautiful Sunday, March 31st. Now, I am Apostle Shalene Cook, but as you know, I am always joined by some dedicated servant leaders in the persons of Minister Tina Brown, Apostle Zeta Flowers, Bishop Lester Carver, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, and then we have our elder board in the house this morning. We have Elder Linda. Hallelujah. We have Elder Nita. We have Elder Lee and Elder Terry. And on behalf of all of us here, the Spirit Alive family, yeah, we would like to just welcome you to this morning's Resurrection Sunday service. Now, at this time, we are going to get this celebration started with our very own Minister Tina Brown as she opens us in prayer.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, and open our hearts to the Lord as we go to the throne of grace. Oh, most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to your throne of grace this morning, giving you all the honor, the praise, and the glory for this Resurrection Sunday, Heavenly Father. We are so thankful for your mercy, for your grace that you give us each and every day. We are so blessed that you so love the world, Lord, that you gave your only begotten Son to us, who died on the cross and rose again to give us the blessing of forgiveness, Heavenly Father. We are so thankful for those who are here listening today, Heavenly Father, for those who may not know your Son, Jesus. May they want to get to know him and be saved by him, Heavenly Father. We ask that you bless the message, that you bless Apostle Cook with the message she'll be delivering today, Heavenly Father. We are so thankful that we know you and that we love you and that we are blessed by you each and every day. Through Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. Come on, put your hand again. I want to take your mind back to a hill called Calvary, where Jesus died, paid the price for your sins and mine. Anybody here know he died for you? Come tonight to tell you, it wasn't the nails sent Hitler to the cross, but it was the love of God. Come on, Mississippi man, let's tell them. The nail that held him to the cross. He could have come down, but my soul still goes. Hallelujah. The ransom was so high, paid off.
glory.
So hallelujah and glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. We now know that it was, if you didn't know, now you know, it was not the nails that held Jesus on that cross, but it was his God's great love for us that kept him there. Saints, it is now time for this morning's meditational reading. And each and every Sunday morning, we ask the mother of our assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, to come to us and read to us from a powerful devotional. And this year, she has been reading from a 365-day devotional of peace written by Miss Sherry Crowell. And so right now I'm going to ask that everybody please retrieve your Bible and give your undivided attention to the mother of this assembly, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. Amen.
Bless Resurrection Sunday to everyone. The meditational reading this Sunday is entitled Sticks and Stones. Now, what you say can mean life or death. Those who speak with care will be rewarded. You'll find that in Proverbs 18 and 21. Now, if you've ever been hurt by verbal stones, you know the theme song assertion, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's simply not true. Words do wound. And sometimes those wounds run deep and sting, if not run for a long time. Excuse me. Words carelessly thrown at someone can break spirits and hearts, just as sticks of stones can break bones. On the other hand, words can also heal and spread joy. Uplifting words have prompted a turning point in people's lives. The words we speak can give life to others as well as fill our own souls with joy as we speak them. But our words can also take life away if we speak them with evil intent or from a deceitful heart. Such words are poison, and such words are death. Verbal sticks and stones may not break your bones, but they can destroy lives, even the lives of the people who speak the harsh words. So the next time you are tempted to throw verbal stones, replace those words with some that give life. Prayer for the morning. May I never use words as a weapon to wound. Lord, help my words always to be full of life and love. Amen. And may God add blessings and favor upon the readers, hearers, and especially the doers of his holy and righteous word. Amen and glory to God.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's time to celebrate our Christ.
The Bible says that everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Come on and get on your feet and help us bless the name of Jesus.
Did anybody come to praise him today? Come on, let's celebrate him in this place today. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Woo!
I'm coming.
hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I came to celebrate Jesus this morning. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Saints of God, it is now time for this morning's prayer. And this is a time when we come together as a collectively, as a family, and individually, we go to the Lord. And we just give him praise and thanksgiving for what he has already done, what he is doing, and for all the things that he is going to do. We go before his throne, reverencing him. Hallelujah. We go before his throne with a childlike awesomeness, trusting, expecting, and believing that God will do exactly what he says he will do. And moreover, he can do exceedingly and abundantly that which we can't even think to ask for. So right now, my brothers and sisters, right now, if you don't have anything else to praise the Lord about in your mind, I came to tell somebody this morning, we need to be praising God for salvation today. We need to be praising God for his deliverance today. We need to be thanking God for his restoration and transformation today. So I'm going to ask that you now clear your hearts and your minds, and you just put your focus on he whom we celebrate today, King Jesus, as we prepare to go to God's throne of grace with his anointed apostle, Zeta Flowers. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. Amen. God bless you, each and every one of you that are listening in today. Praise God for those that are listening in all over the world. Praise God. Hallelujah. Today is a day of celebration, and let us just go into prayer. Let us bow our hearts, our heads, hallelujah, for the one that came to save us. Father God, we just come to you this morning. We come to you celebrating you, Jesus. We thank you that we have the opportunity to celebrate you. We thank you. We thank you for all that you did for us. We thank you for what you have done. We thank you for what you continue to do for us, your children. We thank you, Lord, for coming to save us. We thank you. We thank you for being the forgiving God that we needed. Hallelujah, so desperately. We thank you. We thank you for being that one. Hallelujah, willing to die. Hallelujah for us. Hallelujah. We thank you. We thank you that all through the suffering and all that took place even prior to your death, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your humbleness today. We thank you for your love. Hallelujah. Your great love for all of us. We thank you for your unconditional love. And we ask, Lord, this morning that you forgive us for anything, Lord, that we may have done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before we came into your presence, we ask that you would forgive us this morning for whatever it might be, for whatever might be displeasing you that might be in us. We ask for your forgiveness. We thank you, Lord, for your eternal love. Your eternal hallelujah. We thank you for salvation this morning. We thank you for paying that price that we could not pay. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, hallelujah, that you loved us so much, hallelujah. Oh, God, that nothing got in the way of your love. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that we have it unconditionally. We thank you that whatever we did in our past, hallelujah, we thank you that you came to forgive us for all of that, all of that. Hallelujah. And we just praise you today. Hallelujah. We give you the glory, the honor, the praise, because you are so deserving of it. We thank you for your grace.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Lord. Yes,
it means
Lord.
So much. Hallelujah. Just that one word covers so much. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you that when we didn't deserve, hallelujah, which the things, hallelujah, that you have covered and blessed us with and, hallelujah, allowed us to have, hallelujah, hallelujah, and the greatest that you have given us is salvation. And so today we lift up those, Lord, hallelujah, that are yet in bondage to sin, bondage to so many things, hallelujah, those that have no hope. We know that in Christ Jesus, hallelujah, that in you they can have that hope, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for freedom today. We thank you that you, hallelujah, because of you, hallelujah, we have the freedom to love, hallelujah, the freedom to walk, hallelujah, with you, the freedom to talk with you, hallelujah, the freedom to share what we know about you. We thank you, Lord, for the testimonies, hallelujah, that we have because of you. And Father God, we pray that you would touch those that are suffering, hallelujah, those that are going through, praise God, those that are in need of being set free today. We pray, Lord, that they will understand and know, hallelujah, that through you, they can be saved. Through you, God, hallelujah, there is hope. And we thank you, Lord. We pray that you would touch the unsaved everywhere.
Thank you, Lord.
In our homes, in our communities, hallelujah, all around us, hallelujah, all over the world, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for those that come out because it is Resurrection Sunday. We thank you for those that are in churches today and listening on the broadcast. We thank you, Lord, hallelujah, that they have come out.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But Lord, allow them to be touched, to be touched by your spirit this morning. Hallelujah. We pray, Lord, that they will come to know you in the pardoning of their sins. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, that they will accept you today. Hallelujah. Because they know that it's Resurrection Sunday, that they know that it's Easter to them. So we pray, Lord, that many will be drawn to you. Hallelujah. We celebrate you on this wonderful, wonderful day and reflect on the meaning, hallelujah, of what this day is. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for it. We pray for those that are all over the place, that are shut in, that are in bondage, those that are in hospitals, jails, juvenile halls, and prisons. We pray, Lord, that they will hear you this morning. Hallelujah.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
That the messages that will come forth will ring in their ears, Lord, and touch their hearts. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. Because we know that it is your desire that not one be lost. So we lift them up to you today, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for those that you are setting free. We thank you for those, Lord, that have been so confined and so abused in this human trafficking, child abuse, sexual abuse, domestic violence. We thank you that you are freeing so many of them in the name of Jesus and holding those accountable that have been the cause of their suffering. We pray for your healing for them in the name of Jesus. We pray that they will be touched by you today in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing upon the little ones that can't help themselves. But we thank you that you are being their protector. Hallelujah. That you're standing in their defense. Those that are helpless, those that can't stand for themselves. Hallelujah. We thank you for what you're doing for them. And we pray, Lord, hallelujah, for you to move in a mighty way in those, Lord, that are taking advantage of their power politically and otherwise. We pray that you would step in, Lord, hallelujah, that you would move in these areas, that you would straighten out things in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And we just pray, Lord, hallelujah, for leaders across the nation in the name of Jesus, that you will get the attention, hallelujah, of those that are leading your people astray. We thank you, Lord, for how you are coming into the churches. We thank you for how you're straightening out things. Hallelujah. We thank you for sparing those, hallelujah, that don't have discernment, those that don't know any better, those that are following those, Lord, that are wicked in their ways.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, for your mighty move. We thank you for moving miraculously and supernaturally in these situations.
Yes.
We thank you for the sparing of your people in the name
yeah.
of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And Father God, I pray that we will be used in a greater way as you said that we would. Hallelujah. Prepare us for the greater work, Lord, that you said that we would do in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. As we are walking in obedience to you, Lord, and doing the things that you have given us to do, we pray that you will continue to guide us. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. For those that are called according to your purpose, we pray, Lord, that we will walk in strength, hallelujah, that we will go in your strength as you send us out and as you send us to the places, Lord, where we need to go. We pray, Lord, hallelujah, that we will follow your direction, that we will be obedient to your commands, God, in the name of Jesus, because then we know, hallelujah, that those that you send us to will be blessed.
Yes.
Hallelujah, that they will hear your word. Hallelujah. Your undiluted word. Your pure word.
Yes.
In the name of
yes,
Jesus.
Yes, yes.
In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes,
that their lives will be transformed. That their lives, hallelujah, will be different. Hallelujah, as some of our lives are. Hallelujah. How you transformed us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, while we were yet doing what we wanted to do rather than obeying your commands. Hallelujah. Help others, Lord, to obey your commands. Hallelujah. As we continue to teach and preach, hallelujah, and prophesy to those, hallelujah, that need to hear your voice.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We pray that we will continue going in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That we will speak what you give us to speak. In Jesus' name.
Yes,
hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that we will teach what you give us to teach. Hallelujah.
Yes,
which is
Lord.
Your holy word. Hallelujah. Nothing less. Hallelujah. Than your pure word that can only come from you.
Yes, Lord God.
But it's to
yes,
come
sir.
Through us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we go about making disciples. We thank you, Lord. We thank
yes, we do.
We thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost. We thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We cannot thank you enough. Hallelujah. And as we celebrate you today, Lord, let it be remembered that we can celebrate you every day. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
We thank you, Lord. We
thank you, Jesus,
that you're always in that place of being celebrated.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, Lord. We thank you that you are, hallelujah, our perfect Savior.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Our Lord and King. Hallelujah. Our everything, our intercessor.
Yes.
You are all that we need. And we thank you, Lord. We
thank you
for
Jesus.
Your unconditional, everlasting, eternal love.
Yes.
And we say amen.
Amen
and amen.
And amen. Thank you, Jesus.
New direction. Gray Boy. D. Lawrence. Choir music. It's a Chicago thing. Hey. When they what? That's right, y'all. Tell them about it. Say it again. Hey. When they get ya. Oh. I like it when you. What you gonna say right here?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I like it.
shouting, just a lot of singing and shouting. Love everywhere, joy in the air. That's right, y'all. I feel it. Hey!
Hallelujah. Good morning, family. It is once again, it is now time for this morning's message. But before I get into that, first and foremost, if you are just joining us via your computer, if you are just joining us here in the sanctuary, I once again like to say, wish everyone a blessed Resurrection Sunday. And then I want to give honor to God the Father and to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whose death, burial, and resurrection and ascension we are celebrating today. And to the wonderful servant leaders here at Spirit Alive, and to you, our brothers and sisters all over the world, we pray for you God's love, his peace, joy, and many blessings, yes, not just on Resurrection Sunday, but forevermore. Hallelujah. I will now open with a brief prayer. Lord Jesus, I come before your throne of grace right now in the name of Jesus, in your name, just asking that if I've thought or did or said anything, even during this time, that was not pleasing to you. Lord, I'm begging you to forgive me, because I want to stand before your people, hallelujah, as a vessel of honor. Lord, I pray that I completely decrease so that you might have all the increase, all the honor, and all the praise. I pray right now in the name of Jesus for our listeners who are listening today and for each and every listener that will hear this service in our archives. Lord, I pray that it will be, that you will use it for your glory, that you will use it to edify your people, that you will use it to draw the lost. Because, Lord, everything that I do, I only want you to receive the glory. It is in your holy and righteous name that I do pray all things, King Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks to God. Here we go again. Now, I understand, your sister understands it's Resurrection Sunday, but we will be going right back to Ephesians 1, and today we're going to be looking at verses 9 through 10, because if any of you have walked with me for a while, you know that when I'm in the middle of a series or when I'm in the process of a series, I don't care what. It doesn't matter to me which holy day comes up, because see, you can't talk about God without talking about Jesus, and you can't talk about Jesus and God without talking about his Holy Spirit. Well, you can do it. It just won't make any sense to anybody. So it all, God's word goes with every, because see, I am convinced that God's word goes with everything and every day. So today we will begin once again to look at Ephesians 1, and today we're going to be concentrating on verses 9 through 10, because even though we're in Ephesians, I'm going to tell you, this is a resurrection day. This is a message good for a Resurrection Sunday. You know why? Because my message is simply entitled, The Great Reunion, and it is because of God's master plan. It is because that Jesus was obedient to the Father and he donned filthy flesh and he dwelt among us. And it is because that he came and he was our propitiation. He allowed himself to be crucified he died so that we might have eternal life. So that one day we can all be partakers of that great eternal reunion. Let me share with you how I know, or what makes me believe it. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 reads as follows. having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now, 2 weeks ago, we left off talking about the mystery of God's will being revealed or being made manifest to all of us in these last days according to the plans and purposes of God, the plan and purpose of God. And we talked about how Paul said that it had been a mystery that had been kept secret for long ages. Now, Sister God, I want you to walk with me here because I heard Apostle Zeta pray that we truly understand the meaning of this day that we are celebrating. Well, let me just take you, let me take you all the way back. You see, we know from Scripture that Lucifer, one of the archangels given names in the Bible, rose up in rebellion against his creator, intending to take the throne. Now, let's keep it real. None of us know when that happened. We don't know if it was shortly after creation or somewhere back in eons of eternity. But one hint that we can get from the passage, hallelujah, and that I'll be reading to you in a moment, we get it where God says to him, he says, you had the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and in perfect beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. Mm-hmm. Now, these may be separate thoughts about this one to whom God is talking, but it could also be taken that after creation and after God gave this particular angel rule over the beauty of Eden, we can glean that his heart then became full of pride for his own beauty. Because remember, music played when he walked. Huh. He became full of himself and he fell. Yeah. Now, how all of that exactly case was played out, we don't know. It's not made clear. But let's look at what we do know. In Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 11 through 19, the prophet speaks against the evil of the king of Tyre. And you get the sense that this king seems to represent Satan. And as the prophecy progresses, I'm going to get it out, Satan, don't even trip. It becomes obvious that the Holy Spirit, through Ezekiel, is not talking about a mortal man. Because look what it says. Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre, and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you had the seal of protection full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden in the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the ruby, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the lapis lazuli, and turquoise, and the emerald, and the gold. The workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. You were the anointed cherub who covers, and I placed you there. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. By the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence and you sinned. Therefore, I have cast you as profane from the mountain of God, and I have destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I put you before kings that they may see you. By the multitude of your iniquities, in the unrighteousness of your trade, you profaned your sanctuaries. Therefore, I have brought fire from the midst of you. It has consumed you, and I have turned you to ashes on the earth in the eyes of all who see you. All who know you among the peoples are appalled at you, you have become terrified, and you will be no more. Now, if you think that was pretty straightforward, listen to what the prophet Isaiah gives us as an even more specific picture of the actual rebellion itself in chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. It says, how you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You have been cut down to the earth, you who have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will make myself like the Most High. So now some of you might be thinking, because now remember, we're talking about God's purpose and God's master plan. So do you think that God was taken by surprise? Did Lucifer, referred to as star of the morning or son of the dawn, disappoint God and force him to come up with some plan to save his universe? Here, let me just, look, let me give you my short answer. No.
Oh.
I believe that this mystery we're talking about here, this secret plan of God hidden from long ages past, you know what? I believe it was discussed by the Holy Trinity, determined and finished long before Lucifer was even created. Now, that's what I believe. I could be wrong.
Yes. Amen.
But I know Satan didn't have anything to do with any decision made by God. I do know that. Now,
say that.
If you've never read C.S. Lewis's The Chronicles of Narnia, I recommend them to you. Because even though they're supposedly children's books, there's a lot that adult Christians could learn from these renderings. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
So, you know, I want you to just settle down while I give you a little bit of what I mean here. You see, in the first series, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, four human children who have been transported magically to the world of Narnia are having their adventures. It's a place where a lion named Aslan, who is also symbolic of Christ, and an evil witch, who is representative of Satan, hallelujah, and then we have Edmund, who is one of the human children, decided he was going to turn traitor, and he helped the white witch find the other children. But then Aslan comes on the scene to save the day. And I'm going to now read to you just a few extracted portions, hallelujah, from this book so that you will better understand, because I don't want anybody to be confused. I don't want anybody to think, oh, my goodness, Apostle Cook is teaching witchcraft. No. No, I'm not. C.S. Lewis happens to be a children's book illustrator and writer, and he is also a Christian. So he is trying to reach small children or younger children to get them thinking about the sacrifices that Jesus made for us. So the story that where I'm going to start off at is the story says, we're going to start off with the witch, talking to Aslan. And she says, you have a traitor there, Aslan. And, of course, everyone present knew that she meant Edmund. But Edmund had got past thinking about himself after all he'd been through and after the talk he'd had that morning. He just went on looking at Aslan. And it didn't seem to matter what the witch said or did. Well, said Aslan, his offense was not against you. Have you forgotten the deep magic? Have you forgotten the deep magic? Asked the witch. Let's say I've forgotten it, answered Aslan gravely. Tell us of this deep magic. Tell you, said the witch, her voice growing suddenly shriller. Tell you what is written on that very table of stone which stands beside us? Tell you what is written in the letters deep as a spear and long on the trunk of the world ash tree? Tell you what is engraved on the scepter of the emperor beyond the sea? You at least know the magic what the emperor put into Narnia at the very beginning. You know that every traitor belongs to me as my lawful prey, and that for every treachery, I have a right to kill. Now I'll fill in the story for you and skip ahead for the sake of time, but what happens is Aslan offers himself in exchange for Edmund. Edmund goes free, and late that night, Aslan surrenders himself to the witch and her evil hordes, who torture him, tie him to the table of stone, and they kill him. But the next morning, two of the human children, Lucy and Susan, are crying in the woods because they witnessed from a distance what had happened. Suddenly there is a loud crack. They run to see what has happened, and they find the table of stone broken in two, and Aslan is alive and well and looking grander than ever. Oh, Aslan, cried both of the children, staring up at him, almost as frightened as they were glad. Aren't you dead then, dear Aslan? Said Lucy. Not now, said Aslan. You're not a, asked Susan in a shaky voice. She couldn't even bring herself to say the word ghost. Aslan stooped his golden head and licked her forehead. The warmth of his breath and a rich sort of smell that seemed to hang about his hair came all over her. And he asked, do I look it? They said, oh, you're real. You're real. Oh, Aslan, cried Lucy. And both girls flung themselves upon him and covered him with kisses. But what does it all mean? Asked Susan when they were somewhat calmer. It means, said Aslan, that though the witch knew the deep magic, there is a magic, still deeper, that she did not know. You see, her knowledge goes back only to the dawn of time. But if she could have looked a little further back into the stillness and the darkness before time dawned, she would have read there a different incantation. She would have known that when a willing victim who had committed no treachery was killed in a traitor's stead, the table would crack and death itself would start working backwards. Oh, hallelujah. The glory is that this mystery, hidden from ages long past, has now been manifest. Hallelujah. It's why we celebrate today. It is revealed in its completion in Christ Jesus. There is no longer any need to keep secrets. Why? Because God's master plan has reached its fruition. The victory has already been won. See, Jesus did that when he died on Calvary's cross. You see, the table of stones was broken. That is, the dividing wall was broken down. The veil was torn. The decree of our debt was taken out of the way. And the innocent who had committed no treason stood in the place of the traitor, and he crushed that serpent's head. Oh, hallelujah. Just think about it. See, Satan knew the truth only from when time began for him. But see, hallelujah, if he could have looked further back, he could have seen that God had a plan all along. Hallelujah. Our God had a plan all along, a plan that he could not see. So let's now look again at what has been revealed in Ephesians 1, 9 through 10. What it says is he said, he made known the mystery of his will, and it was according to his good pleasure. He didn't have to. He wanted to. And it was purposed in himself that in the fullness of time, what he knew he was going to do, God already knew that he was going to gather together. There was going to be a great reunion. And all of those that he knew was going to love him and serve him before the foundation of the world, we are going to get to be partakers of that great reunion.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Because see what it says here in verses 9 and 10 simply stated is what has been revealed by the coming and ministry of Christ is God's plan of redemption. He is the plan.
Yeah.
You don't have to, well, what's the plan? What's the plan, God? My son is the plan.
Yeah.
And he's all inclusive. And when I say my son is the plan, I don't mean for the day that he was crucified. I'm talking about for all of eternity. He's the plan.
Yeah.
He's that mystery that has now been revealed. You've seen it in broad daylight. You've seen how he allowed himself to be whipped and beaten and hung. You heard what he said from the cross. See, that it's that atoning work on the cross that only Jesus could do.
Yes.
Is what gives us a right to becoming a partaker of that great reunion.
Yes.
See, this plan is a reference. Jesus is a reference to his entire plan of reconciling us back to himself. Everything that was lost in the fall, God is going to reconcile back to himself. And we as believers, we are redeemed. Oh, yeah, we're redeemed. And the way that we live our lives should say so. Now, we're redeemed. But our bodies have not been glorified yet. We do not dwell in the heavenly realm side by side with the angels. We're not literally standing before the throne. Because, see, that part has not yet come. God has not made his new heavens and his new earth. All of that from our perspective, I'm saying from our perspective, because you know God is always dealing with the finished work. You know, that has not come yet. But it is still all a part of the redemptive plan. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it is written, "For in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But now we do not yet see all things subjected to him, but we do see him who has been made for a little while lower than the angels." We talk about namely Jesus. "Because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone." Nevertheless, the plan has been revealed. The mystery has been known. You need, somebody today needs to know that Satan is a defeated foe. Hallelujah. The battle has already been won. Thank you, Jesus. When Jesus said to the Father, not my will, but your will be done. My mother had me cracking up this morning. She said, if they would have knew who that little Jew boy was that they was messing with, they would have left him alone. And I said, yes, glory to God, that may be. But see, then he couldn't have done, he could not have fulfilled his father's plan and purpose.
Amen.
You see.
Amen.
It had to be done.
Yeah.
And what the word of God says in verse 10, it said, not just by happenstance or by chance or at a whim. The word of God declares that at the full, at the administration of the suitable time, the fullness of time, that he was going to sum all things up in his son Jesus. Things on in heaven and things on the earth. Everything's going to get together and we're going to have us a reunion. And I've come to tell you that that's what summing up means. It refers to a reunion. A reuniting of all things with their creator, the rightful heir of all things by virtue of the sacrifice he made for us. In Colossians 1:15-20, we can read this. And he, in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven, it's all going to come together in the sweet by and by in Christ Jesus. Huh?
Yeah. Glory.
And I always give me a testimony. I go ahead and let the scripture testify to itself. Because then again in chapter 2, verse 10, we see this. And in him you have been made complete. And he is the head over all rule and authority. All of creation, listen to me, all of creation, from the vegetation to the creatures of the sea and land to the first man himself, was in perfect harmony with God and with one another. But as a result of Adam and Eve's sin, that harmony was destroyed, and the unity ceased to exist between God and his creation. And we fell immediately into discord. Romans chapter 8, verses 20 and 21 says, for the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption. Now, back in, let me see, Romans chapter 5, Paul writes, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spreads to all men because all sin. See, I don't know about with you, but there's plenty of evidence all around me that shows me how, that we have become so destructive through sin. You know, if you can't look outside your window, whenever we venture outside, we can see it. You know, we look around and we see the devastation of miles and miles of stumps of dead trees that have been cut down by loggers or by careless fires that have been set by men. We can see man's struggle against death and disorder. You know, because we now have to rise up early and we have to water and we have to till the ground and we have to go. See, when, you know what I'm saying? This is one time we can say, Adam and Eve, if it wasn't for God's master plan, you would have messed it up for everybody. Because.
Glory. Yes. But God.
You know, because we fail. They fail. But see, God already had a plan.
Yes.
In place. He was one of the ones that was standing there when God said, come, let us make man in our image. Now, I may not be a scientist, but I understand that true science has determined that the second law of thermodynamics defines an increase in randomness or disorder in the universe. Does anybody need any neon signs to see that going on in the world today? You know, and this is one of those theories that is diametrically opposed to the theory of evolutionists who say that species evolve into better and higher states of being. But actually, they're the ones that prove the notion about the randomness of the disorder, because the longer you listen to these people talk, the more their absurdity increases. See, there used to be a saying, it is better to be silent and be thought a fool than to open one's mouth and remove all doubt. And that's basically what these evolutionists do. Because see, what you need to know and understand this morning is the day Adam sinned, he set into motion a process of death and destruction that has grown in its intensity over the centuries. And if left unchecked, it is going to result in a disjointed, reasonless, meaningless end of all things. But the mystery revealed to us now at the end of the ages is that God will ultimately restore his harmony. Yes, and he will reunite all things in Christ. But you might be asking yourself, well, Apostle, Sister Bishop, Charlene, girlfriend, what's that going to look like? Well, first, I want us to be very clear that by saying all things, Paul is not teaching some kind of universalism, oh no sir, no ma'am. He's not saying that in the end everyone will be brought into the kingdom of God no matter what choices they made in their life or whatever their deeds were. Paul is not saying that. Don't you believe it? And don't you let none of them prosperity preachers get away with telling you that either. Because the scriptures make it very clear that those who have rejected God and his son Jesus is going to spend eternity apart from him. And there is no provision made anywhere for, you know, going back down there and calling them back up from hell after he sent them there. He said, where you found is where you be. Okay? Either you lived for me or you didn't. Either you believed in me or you didn't. Either you obeyed me or you didn't. See, too many preachers, we don't want to talk about sin. You know, most people know when they sin. I know they don't. If you are a born-again believer, if you know Jesus, hung, bled, and died for your sin, your sin. You need to be telling somebody that. You really do. You know, God says it. Here we go. Thank you, Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 6:9. We get this warning right here. It's one of many warnings that we get. It says, or do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Hello? I don't care about you standing up before a church one day in your early life saying that you gave your life to Jesus Christ, but if you didn't make Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior, if you did not deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow Jesus, if you did not share the love, the grace, and the peace and joy of Jesus with other people, all you did was made an emotional speech.
Yeah.
Because because see, I'm like this. I seem to notice something about when Jesus spoke, I want to listen. When Jesus speaks, I want to listen. And I've noticed something. Jesus warns more about hell in the Gospels than he talks about heaven. You know why he does that? Because he does not want us to end up there. That's why he does that. Look at the Word of God says in John 14:6. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes through the Father but through me.
Yeah.
See, and what we need to understand is that the good shepherd, we're talking about Jesus now, is not going to let wolves in among his sheep. He is not going to cheat the faithful by rewarding the faithless. You know, I know a lot of us that really love the Lord, a lot of us are upset. You know, we see the church doing such ungodly things right in the temple of the Lord, right in the house of God, you know. But what we got to remember is there's going to come a time that there's going to be a summing up of all things. There's going to be a in Christ Jesus. And everybody. Everybody is going to have to give an accounting. So if you are found outside of Christ, you're going to remain outside of Christ.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. See, because now we talk about the new heaven and the new earth. And it says they will be outside of his kingdom, outside the realm of harmony.
Yeah.
See, God sees and already knows the fulfillment of his plan and speaks of it as a thing already done. Like I said, God is always dealing with the finished work.
Yeah.
And in the end, only that which is redeemed by his blood and restored to him will be counted. Therefore, all things in Christ will be united, things in heaven and things up on the earth. First and foremost, we're going to see him, you know, and you say, oh, that's going to be good. Yes, it is. Because first and foremost, we're going to see him exactly as he is. We're going to worship him at his throne. He's going to reward us with crowns. Listen, in the future there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. And that's in 2 Timothy 4:8. And then again in 1 Peter 5:4. Oh, this is good. This is good. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Now, of course, we're going to cast those crowns at his feet, you know, because we're going to be acknowledging that only he is worthy to wear a crown. Because he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is head over everything. See, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be standing with them angels as described in Revelation 5:11-13. And we're going to be singing his praises. Listen to this, y'all. Listen to this. This is good. All because of what Jesus did over 2,000 years ago. On that old rugged cross. Look here, this is what it says in Revelation 11:5-13. And I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads and myriads, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Ha! "And every created thing which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever." See, we will stand, by, and watch heavens destroyed by burning and the elements melt with intense heat. But then you know what? 2 Peter, verse 3, 12 through 13 says, it says, then we will gaze in amazement as he creates his new heavens and his new earth where perfect righteousness will reign. Hallelujah. See, and finally, thanks to God, we're going to see, hallelujah, the vindication of all the martyrs of all the ages and our own vindication for all that we suffered in his name. And by this, his enemies are made footstools for his feet. That's what it tells us in Hebrews 1:13. And then on over in chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. But then again, Isaiah tells us, and I love this, "The wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little boy will lead them. Also the cow and the bear will graze. Their young will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like the ox, and the nursing child will play by the hole of the cobra. And the weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of knowledge of the Lord as waters cover the sea." Isaiah 11:6 through 9. See, thanks to God, this is what we're going to do. This is what's going to happen. Let me tell you. As a child of God, as a blood-washed believer, and as a part of that great reunion, see, we're going to get to stand and witness as Buddha, Muhammad, Confucius, Marx, Lenin, Voltaire, Madeleine Murray O'Hare, and even Satan himself. All, you heard me? All bow that knee and confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every knee shall bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. It will finally be perfect peace and eternal bliss. It will be the perfect realization of all those spiritual blessings with which he has blessed us in heavenly places. It will be the love and comfort of all our loved ones who have been assembled by his Holy Spirit without any of the tensions or prejudices or squabbles or differences that may have marred our relationships in this life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We celebrate. We celebrate today. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
We celebrate today because, see, we know that God always had a master plan. And it was in his son Jesus. Hallelujah. And in the fullness of time, hallelujah, he sent his plan into action because his plan allowed himself to be born of filthy flesh, and he dwelt among us, and he walked with us, and he talked with us, and he showed us how to live a blameless life before God. Hallelujah. And they crucified him for that. Oh, I know the enemy, all the little devils and demons. Oh, I know they were down there in hell just having them a good old time. Oh, we got it. Oh, they crucified. Oh,
yeah.
We won.
Right.
No, you didn't. See, Because if you would have bothered to read the rest of the story, flathead, you might have, yeah, they crucified him. They crucified him. But did you not read the part where he then in 3 days rose with all power in his head?
Yes.
You are a defeated foe. Get over it. And as long as we put our faith, our trust, our obedience in Christ Jesus, you will remain defeated in our lives. I praise God that he loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son so that I might have a plan of reconciliation back to him.
Yeah.
He loved us so much that he gave his son.
Yeah.
Jesus loved us so much that he gave his life, his very life. And hear me when I tell you, Jesus did not get up on that cross and just simply faint. He did not get up on that cross and simply swoon. No, Jesus died. He laid down his life. And just like the song says, trust and believe, it was not the nails that held him to that cross, but it was his great love for you and for me. He wanted to make sure he did his job, so that we can stand in our rightful place.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes,
and only he can do it. Because, see, he was without sin. Just like the lion Aslan, to you young people that love the, y'all teenagers that love those books. Aslan was the lion. He represents the Lion of Judah. Hallelujah.
Yes. Oh, Lord. I say,
he's the Lion of Judah. Hallelujah. He's the cornerstone that the builders rejected.
Yes, sir.
But today we celebrate not a dead Jesus, but we serve a risen Lord and Savior, and we now have the hope of being master partakers in that great family reunion in the new heaven and the new earth. To God be the glory. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And happy Resurrection Sunday to you. Glory to God. At this time, I pray that you truly was blessed by the message, and I'm going to ask that Pastor Vanessa Carver come on in and ask that she would bless us by sealing this message and praying according to the Spirit as the Spirit leads her. Pastor Vanessa?
Yes,
ma'am. Thank you. Thank you, Apostle Cook, for that message. I thank you, Lord, for blessing the vessel that poured into us. I thank you, Lord, for the declaration word that was delivered, Lord, and what it is. This is actually the seventh watch of the day. And so as I seal this message, I want to pronounce and proclaim the fact that what Apostle Cook did in delivering this message is considered coming against the enemy's tactics, coming against the things that he tries to do. And the being reminded of what that Jesus did on the cross is exactly, we're right in the vein of the seventh watch. So, Father God, I just thank you, Lord, today for sealing this message, Lord, that it will be fruitful in the days to come, that whatever this message ministered to us today, because for me, it really reminded me of your sovereignty, but also about what we're supposed to walk in and the mindset we're supposed to have about purpose versus plan. And both together. So I thank you today for unity and harmony of understanding and clarity in the days to come, that as this word, as we receive it and it rests on us, that it will produce a level of intimacy that we need. And it'll, for some of us, it'll be the thing that sharpens us. For some of us, it'll be things that will clear out the way where we were uncertain and give us boldness. And I just thank you, Lord, today for that in the name of Jesus. And so at the rest of the day, that this is a residue that is on us today based on what we heard and that we can meditate on, and it will be fruitful. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Remember, this is the seventh watch till 3.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, beautiful one. Yes, yes. And you know, that's what I love about my sister. She is diligent. And when she tells God she's going to do something, that's what she does. And you know, that's it. And now, you know, and I'm just thinking right now, if you might not know Jesus in the pardon of your sin. Okay? But I'm telling you, if you think people, you know, maybe you got that good girlfriend or that good guy friend or the, you know, your bro, you know, and no matter what happens in your life, that person comes through for you. You know, they're always there for you. So if you can think like that about your good girlfriend or your bro or your buddy or your pal, I would like to submit to you this morning that you really need to try Jesus.
Yes.
Try Jesus. I'm telling you, you will love him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, blessed is a man that would only trust him. This morning I'm beseeching you that if you don't know Jesus in the pardon of your sin, to come to him right now. Tell God that you trust him and you're thanking him for sending his only begotten son into this world to die for your sin. And confess those sins before him. And then ask him to come into your life and save you. Come into your life and make him your Lord and your Savior. Come into your life so that his Holy Spirit can teach you the things of him.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be elaborate. It doesn't have to sound or articulate or airy or dramatic. It can be as simple as saying to God, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I'm asking you, Lord, to forgive me of my sins. For I believe that you are the Son of the living God and that you came, you died, and you rose for my sin.
Yes.
And I believe, yes, Jesus, that you ascended unto heaven and you now sit at the right hand of the Father,
yes,
interceding on my behalf. So come into my life and save me so that you might intercede for me. Come into my life and save me so that you might teach me. Come into my life and save me so that I can live a life worthy of the sacrifice that you made for me. Come into my life, Lord,
yes,
God, and teach me how to serve you the way you want me to.
Yes, sir.
Lord, wherever you lead, I'll go. Just tell me what I need to do and tell me what I need to know. And I pray it all in your Son Jesus' holy and righteous name. Amen. And amen and amen. And if you said that prayer, or if you decide to say that prayer later today, if you said that prayer in any form, you went to the Lord, you confessed your sins, you've asked him to come into your life and save you, you let him know that you want to now live according to his plan and his purpose. And then when you allow his Holy Spirit, hallelujah, to do the work in you that needs to be done so that you might testify to the goodness of God, so that you can share with others the greatness of Jesus, the goodness of Jesus, the sacrifice that Jesus made, you know, then you do that, you know, live like you're redeemed. It's not enough to say, oh, hallelujah, I've been redeemed. Our lives should say so. Our lives should surely say so.
Amen.
Now, at this time, I'm going to ask the wonderful man of God in our assembly, and he's one of several, but we're going to ask our beloved bishop, Bishop Lester Carver, to come, because I'm pretty sure he's got a powerful word for the men on this Resurrection Sunday. Amen.
Amen. Lord Apostle Cook, the word for the men today is a simple word. It is that love covers all sin. And today was that God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sin. And now we are given something to do here in Proverbs. in the book of Proverbs. And in Proverbs chapter 10, there are only two verses I'm going to read here. One is verse 11, and the next is verse 12, where it says, "The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins." And what I want you to know is that it is the love of God that allows the blood of Jesus Christ to cover all of your sin. And just as he has covered all of your sin, you have to walk in love toward others and learn to forgive and cover their sin so that you can truly receive forgiveness and know that you've been forgiven for all of your sin. All of your sin has been paid for, past, present, and future. And understand that the blood of Jesus Christ is that powerful. But if you don't learn how to forgive, then you're not going to receive that forgiveness the way that you need to. So, so that is the word for the men today.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's on time. Now, since it is Resurrection Sunday and we do have a lot of visitors with us today, if there's anyone that would like to say Happy Resurrection Sunday or Happy Easter, so they might have family members that's all over the that might sit elsewhere in the world or in the country, you're more than welcome. I see one person already has their hand up. I will address you by your area code and the last four digits of your phone number, area code 415-2687. God bless you and good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Marty.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm blessed.
It's so nice to hear the whole spirit for Spirit of Life family for once in a long time. It's been really hard. It's been really hard lately, and I listened to everything you say. The one thing I want to do is I want to take my partner along with me. I want to take Jeff with me to the kingdom. I don't want to leave him behind. And I just want to say thank you for all your prayers for me, and that I love you too. And I know Jeff loves you, and you know he's a good guy. I don't want to. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, you're okay. Thank you, Jesus. You want to be. It's all right, Marty. We want everyone, just as Christ wants everyone to be saved. There's nothing to feel ashamed about for wanting people that you love to come to know the Lord. Hallelujah. And the best thing that you can do is to go to God and go before God and let God heal you. So he will see your transformation. He will see your healing. He will see where God is bringing you from. Hallelujah. And your testimony, your prayer will help him to come out of where he is. You know? So you just keep on working on you. And you let God deal with your partner, Jeff. Hallelujah. That's what you do. We can only stand before God for us and what we do.
Okay.
And what we do. And hear me when I say this. I am a people-affirming pastor. I love you. I want you to sit up under the word. I want Jeffrey to sit up under the word because I believe that only the word of God changes things. Only the word of God heals. Only the word of God restores. And so I believe that you will always be able to come to me and ask me questions about the Lord. I will always share what thus says the word of God. Hallelujah, because I want you to be whole. I want you to know that you're saved. I want you to not feel guilty about who you are or what you do or where you go. That is of of Satan. That is not of God. Hallelujah. You just keep giving yourself over to God.
Part of that.
And God will start giving him, he will give you more and more of himself. And you will be changed more and more into the very likeness of who he is. Hallelujah.
Yes,
and I praise God for that. And we want you to know that we're praising God for you. We're going to continue to pray for you. We're going to continue to pray for Jeff. We're going to continue to pray for all of your family members. Hallelujah. Because we don't just take on people. We take on, we're doing this. We're not doing this for a person. We're doing this for the kingdom of God.
Oh, yeah.
We want everyone to know who Jesus is for themselves. So we love you, Marty. Just keep praying. Keep your head up. Just know that you're not being condemned. You're not being judged. You are being loved on. And the word, nothing can love you more than the word of God. And that's Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus is known as the Logos, the living word of God. And nobody can love you more than he can. Hallelujah. So at this time, hallelujah, the time is well spent. But if anybody else would like to say, have a word this on this Resurrection Sunday, say good morning to someone, one of your family members across the country or across the world. We still have a few more minutes. You are happy to hit your one, and we will hear from you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. If not, there's a lot of us in here this morning, but I am just going down through the house. But if there be nothing else, we are now going to hear the benediction from Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And glory to God. Wonderful, wonderful teaching and service this morning. And all the saints greet you, for they are happy too. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all until we meet again. All glory, peace, praise, and honor to our Lord and Savior. Amen.
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 Amen. And amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, saints of God, we for all of you that are within the studio, I think I've gotten almost all of you unmuted. Yes, and for those of you around the world and in our chat rooms, just know that we love you. I'm going to give you what's coming up this week at the Spirit Alive Network. Thank you. On tomorrow, you can join me at 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time in the war room. And tomorrow we're going to be talking about we're going to be talking about the third watch, the third watch of the night. And that is from 3 o'clock, from 12 midnight to 3 a.m. So that we're going to be covering that on tomorrow. So come on out and pray with us. Hallelujah. And that's tomorrow at 6 p.m. On Tuesday, once again, you'll be able to join Bishop Lester Carver for his Tuesday night teaching. It airs at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hallelujah. And then on Wednesday, we will have, once again, our Apostle Zeta Flowers comes every Wednesday as God allows. With her All Nations Bible Study, and she comes to us at 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time. On Friday, we're going to once again have the men take to the airwaves in the persons of Bishop Lester Carver and Elder Daniel Newman. They will show up at 9 o'clock p.m. on Friday evening for every man standing in his place. And on Saturday, you can always join Minister Adam Tuggle for the summit, which airs at 12 noon every Saturday, Eastern Time, every Saturday, right here on the Spirit Alive Network. So from my house to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you acknowledge God and you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. We pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed Resurrection Sunday, a beautiful and blessed week. And from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. You are dismissed, my brothers and sisters. Go in peace. But remember, God loves you, and so do we.
Amen.
Amen. From all of us here at the Spirit Alive Praise and Worship Experience. Hallelujah. All right, family. All of you that are in the studio, I love you. God bless you. I see you, Anita. Lord, Sister Kathy, you got to get here earlier because I can't see you way down there at the bottom of the pile. But we praise God for you, Brother Marty, Sister Kathy, Pastor Vanessa, everybody. Everybody that's up in here, we just want you to know we love you. Love you, Brother Lee and Sister Terry. God bless you all. Continue to have a beautiful Resurrection Sunday.
Happy
love
Easter.
You all. Bye-bye.
And you too.
Amen. And have a happy Resurrection Sunday. Love you in the Lord.
Amen.
Happy Easter, Shirley.